You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
95 BFM, it's 23 minutes to 9 o'clock in the morning on this Tuesday morning. And joining me in the studio, hi Mika, how are you?
Atta Māori, how are you? I'm good.
Always a bloody good pleasure to see you.
You too.
And you look well, you're full of the joys of spring.
Yes.
For people who don't know anything about you at all, they should. And tell us a wee bit about yourself and how you describe yourself.
Myself now. I describe myself
because I could have been having a conversation with you 20 years ago.
That's right.
The same place,
20 years ago. Actually, 30 years ago, I was here with Simon Lahn talking about the first New Zealand gay pop single that I released, Under Delvanius, and the then Warner Music, I Have Not Me a Man, which is the title of the book, which is bizarre. It kind of comes out. But I'm a creative producer, so I create and make things and find the money as well. That's the different point of view, I think. For me as an artist, I've been able to have, as you know, the career that's my own.
And not necessarily the easiest sort of road to hoe.
No, when you're only gay Māori in the village, it was. But you know, it was Delvanius and Meditamit who said to me, "Look, no one's going to fund you, so go find money." And off I went. And it's certainly paid off now because you know, when I'm doing work with the Sydney Opera House. I just came back from Edinburgh Festival, my 10th Edinburgh Festival.
So would you say on the whole you're an entertainer, a choreographer, a
I think the word now is an interactive artist. You see, once upon a time you were an actor, a singer or a dancer, but you'll find everyone out there now is a painter, a graphic designer, and you know, they'll do some hip-hop on the weekend, plus they might even do opera. So the beauty of labels is they begin to dissolve.
At one stage you would have been predominantly a performer.
Yes.
One stage you would have been predominantly a Māori.
Yep.
One stage you would have been predominantly a gay.
Yes, correct.
A gay. In the town.
Gay. And then, now it's LGBT, ABCDEF. Gee, all that stuff
is
wonderful.
And so the title of the book that you're releasing is called The Life and Times of Mika, I've Loved Me a Man, The Story of a Queer Brown Boy in a Big White World.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an interesting couple of decades, hasn't it?
Yeah.
For that queer brown boy in the big white world.
It's really good for me now.
Yes.
In this world now, it's actually has collateral. I can go into meeting. The good thing is when I go into a meeting now, I don't have to sell anything except what I am.
Yeah.
Get my drift, whereas years ago you try to fit in to predominantly, male, white, you know, straight thing, which is still there and that's not going to go. But the good thing is they want a bit of difference now, I think. And also, I just never let things stop me. You know, I was just out there going, if you don't like gays, you don't like Maoris, you don't like women, you don't like homos, well, you know, bah, Felicia, you know, and the thing is, every time you fall over, you just get up again, and it's bizarre, because I've got my own foundation. If there are young ones out there who want to be creators, what I do is I take young ones,
I think this is really blew me away last time we spoke about this.
So what I do, I've got 6 at the moment, I took 5 to Edinburgh. One, Ryan Turner launched his first show at New Zealand Fashion Week.
And wow.
So he did his show Bare Feet Street, which is a new crew who I launched tonight. I'm doing a show at Shanghai Lil, so the next 5 nights, get on to that later. And I find them, I help them find money, strategize their career, and then let them go into the big world. About 18 months worth. It's all free. I don't
just gay kids?
No. Actually, it's spectrum now. So they're LGBT, they're Māori Pacific, but also there's a lot of, you know, white kids who don't fit in, you know. And so if you are interested, it's easy. Just go to mikahaka.com and register. And I pretty much got my 6 for the year, but probably another couple of others.
I remember you telling me last time that of all the people that have come through the front door, one or none. You've basically said, look, here's what we do. You want to get involved or not? We need you to work this hard.
That's right,
hard. Yeah, and none or one sort of bailed on you. None, I think it was.
None really bailed because I've got a pretty good... What I do now is I meet them all one-on-one at a coffee. Right. And I can pretty much tell with dreamers or workers.
Yeah.
Mm. And there's nothing wrong with dreaming. Dreaming's beautiful, but I need workers. What we need, especially like Māori and LGBT and women, we need more of us running our enterprises, that type of thing. Yeah. But on that tonight, just, you know, for the next 5 nights, I am doing a show in Shanghai Lil's at K Road with Bare Feet Street. And kind of a celebration. 10 years of my foundation, 30 years of my first show and the book.
Wow. Your big shiny
the
new
big
book.
Show.
The book's beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, it's very beautiful.
With a foreword by Witty Eremia. And
that's a great pick, isn't it? In the front, there's him and I at one of those gay dance parties, giving him a big snog, and only I could get away with that, I think. You know.
So why do a book now? Why is it's hardly like it's you're in the twilight of your career,
right? That's right. Well, Sharon Mazur, the author, came to me about a decade ago, and she wanted to do the book. And we all get this. People want to do things, don't they, all the time? And I went, yeah, but she carried on working on it, and eventually it paid off. The thing is, the images are very good.
It's a really beautiful book.
There's a lot of pictures in it for the listeners.
I was just saying before that it's such a nice book. You can't do another one now.
It's
like do the best book about you you can.
Now, well, Julian Cook, you know Julian, he did the archiving. He went through the 155,000 archives to help find the 200.
Oh, look, I'm not saying I'm sure you had plenty of pictures of yourself.
Yes,
I'm just saying.
Well, I was taught when I was a kid to archive. Someone told me when I was, you know, you're the only gay Maori in the village. We need to keep this for decades on. And my sister.
It's the fine line between archiving and hoarding.
I get called
the hoarder, but I'm actually archiving.
Okay.
Yeah. The reason that you put the book out, the reason that you, it's not, I mean, your ego didn't need any more stroking, did it? You're a confident performer, and is the book partly to carry on this thing that you've been doing ever since I've known you, which is inspiring other people to say yes, you can do that.
Yeah, it's that.
I think it's really cool.
It's that, and it also you can say goodbye to part of your life that's done. Like for example, Auckland Museum now has heaps of stuff. Once it was out, I just gave them all the archives.
Yeah.
So now I'm free to do something new that I might want to do, which is important in life, isn't it? That we keep growing and evolving in some form.
And if she came to you 10 years ago, you were saying off air before that in the last 3 years, do you think things have changed a lot?
Oh, yes.
So that must have been super interesting in terms of, like, if she's been writing it for 10 years, the amount that things have been changing over that time as well.
When I would have first met you years and years and years and years ago, that would have been the time when there were dance parties for gays and their friends.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Dance parties for gays and our friends.
Isn't that weird?
Thinking about it now.
Unless you knew a gay person or you were given the okay by someone in the gay community, you could not go to these dance parties.
Yes. And the lesbian only.
All the more.
You know? Exactly. You know, and there were lesbian, you know, and they had lesbian-only parties. I remember lesbian-only parties. And they said, you can come and meet her. And even I'd be going, you know, and all of a sudden I'd be, hi, girl, you know, it was woman-only events, and they, you know, and of course it was amazing times in those, but we needed that back then.
Tess was asking, you know, the last 10 years has been supersonic in the way things have changed, and for the better. And so what do you find, what sort of things do you find yourself, because, I mean, the shows you put on, the performances you do and the work that you're doing, what sort of stuff are you showcasing now ideas-wise and concept-wise that you couldn't have done before or that you feel the most important to showcase?
Once we were – I was a lot more overt. I mean, I did a song called Spoof Dancing, which is, you know, Black Label and outrageous.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was my classic dance underground thing. And then...
I think that might have been the death of the word spoof.
It might have been the death of the word spoof. Tess is looking, what spoof? Yeah, ask later, it's fine. I think now when I'm doing shows, I can go deeper. I don't have to be so, I can be deeper when I'm performing. I don't have to be as funny. Because you just can be. I mean, what is a comedian? What is a singer? What is an actor now? It's different. I'm lucky too that I don't need to perform. Do you get my drift? I'm doing it for the next 5 days because I want to. I do Edinburgh. I live in America now. I'm my O1, so I can come backwards and forwards. But I have
Which part of the States you live in?
LA and New York.
Oh, cool.
But I only stay like 6 weeks maximum at a time. Because if you get, everyone wants to.
Is that a visa thing?
Yeah, I've got an O1, so I can live there as I want. But if you stay there too long, you get wrapped up in the day-to-day things. You get my drift? Yeah. If you stay there a bit, then come back, you still get that energy.
With the foundation then, do you come back here to work on that with, or do you take...
I take people with me, I also have people in America that I've been supporting, African American, and they're pretty much the queer African American and Native American communities I work with.
Yeah.
That's pretty much, you know, what I work with over there.
And do you have any, in the foundation, is it only you who kind of mentors these kids? Or
I have Here's a good one. If there was a young person who wanted to be a DJ, Mikey knows, I might pick the phone up and say, hey, look, I've got someone I'd like you to meet. If I rang Mikey direct, he would meet that. That's how I'm very old school. Yeah. It's an old Māori thing where Mikey knows I would never ring him ever if there wasn't this amazing person who I think you should meet Mikey.
Yeah.
So it's the same. We're talking from Peter Jack right across the board.
Mm.
Because I won't send someone unless I believe.
Mm.
But they have a lot to live up to when they've done it. You know, they will not miss a meeting. They will brush their teeth. No, it's, look, seriously, bad breath can ruin a meeting. No, it's really old school things that I was taught. You know, like I still dress up, you know, whenever I go out. We were taught that. And that's really good. A really good point. Yes, yeah, going to town. If you're going for a job interview, brush your teeth, have a shower. You know, like really basic things that people aren't taught, unfortunately, now. Yeah. You know?
Hey, As a Maori, you must have been your spirits must have been high after this very popular and it seemed overwhelmingly successful Maori Language Week recently.
Oh, we've gone from one word.
How are you feeling about that?
We've gone from one word to phrases.
Mm.
But the best part I love, which I do in our foundation and my te reo strategy, is use it. If you get your mātou tātou's wrong, it's fine. It doesn't matter. We've got to get the new stages, you know. And what I love is when non-Maori use it. And there's not that cringe factor.
Mm.
Or maybe it's me. I certainly don't feel. I just go, you know, ka pai tēnā, it's becoming more organic. And if someone was saying, you know, are you fluent? I said, I don't think anyone's fluent in any language.
Mm.
So we've got to stop saying, are you fluent?
Yeah.
Mm. Especially to Māori.
Hey, Mika, it's so nice to have you in the studio again. It's nice to see you again and with your jet setting and your global this and that thing. But the book's out when? Today? The
book's out now in all bookstores, I believe. Even Whitcourt has it, yes.
Launching today, wasn't it?
Launching tonight at Shanghai Lords at 7 p.m. There are still tickets. However, the tickets are $50. So if you don't have any money, tomorrow's World Homeless Day. And if you just bring some cans of food for the city mission,
you'll get
to Shanghai Lords at 7 tomorrow night. You can come in. There we go.
Nice.
You're awesome. Oh, hey, I love you, Mika. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. And good luck with the book and good luck with whatever it is you're doing next. And keep your teeth brushed.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.